This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTCAL.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Well, the wind is pretty cold out here. But it's worth it because this is an amazing science place. I'm really excited to be here at Fermi Lab.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the show about science. This is your host, Nate. And today, we have driven an hour from Chicago to Batavia, Illinois, the home of Fermi Lab. What's inside? Well, let's go find out. So here at Fermilab, scientists are working to understand our universe. One of them is my guest today, Sasha.
My name is Sasha Rollin. I am a scientist at Fermilab, and I work on a project called the South Pole Telescope. Let's head this way.
Sasha leads me into a room that's shaped like a big geodesic dome.
So this is the lab where we do all of our detector testing. So it's where we test all the equipment that goes into our telescope. You want to see some pictures?
Sure.
On the wall, there's a big picture of the South Pole Telescope. So let me try to explain what it looks like to you.
All right, so basically, the South Pole Telescope is like a big telescope. But it has a big flap, which also has a camera stored into it, and the camera is a hexagon.
Yeah.
With a bunch of other mini hexagons in the center.
Yep.
Which all look like they can see light and photons and that sort of thing.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
So the camera is, it's got 10 hexagonal wafers on it. You're right about that. And each of the wafers, so if you look down here, this other picture, there's the features on that. Each of those is one pixel. So it's one detector. And the way that the telescope works is that we're basically looking at the same part of the sky over and over again. So we're making basically the same image. And it's noisy. So when you make that same image over and over again, you kind of average out the noise and you get a cleaner picture in the end. So the thing that's cool to us is seeing, like, the first time that we put the camera together and we installed it in a telescope, and the first time it looked at the sky, that it was able to see, like, a source on the sky. So there's a particular galactic source that when we scan past it, we can see, like, it'll respond to that source. So that's how we know that the camera's working. And so that's always the coolest part of the project is getting everything installed and in place and looking at the sky and seeing, does it work or not? And when you know it works, you're like, great, let's make some maps of the science data.
So, like, we talked about a camera, but what are you taking pictures of?
So we study what's called the cosmic microwave background. And so, do you know what the Big Bang is?
I think that was when the universe started.
Yeah, exactly. So, the universe appeared out of nothing. It's called a big singularity, so a huge gravitational energetic event. Lots and lots of energy released, and the universe expanded really, really quickly. And it was very, very hot. And as it expanded, it cooled, because that's how thermodynamics works. And eventually it cooled enough that... So it started off as this really hot soup with protons and electrons and particles all in one big hot soup with light, photons. And as it cooled, the light was able to travel on its own without hitting anything else. And so that light that's left behind from just a couple hundred thousand years after the Big Bang is called the cosmic microwave background.
I see.
So it's like a baby picture of the universe. What it looked like when it was really, really young.
Okay.
And the universe now is 13.7 billion years old. It's very, very old now.
Okay.
So the other cool thing that we can learn from the cosmic microwave background is what happened before it was emitted, very shortly after the Big Bang, so fractions of a second. And theorists say that there was a period of really rapid expansion, which we call inflation, where the universe expanded faster than the speed of light. So nothing can actually move faster than the speed of light, but this is the universe itself, so the actual space-time expanding faster than light can get through it, which is a very weird concept to think of. It makes no sense when you understand that the speed of light is a constant and nothing can go faster than it. But the cool thing about this really early, really fast expansion is that it leaves behind gravitational waves. I know you did an interview with Bob McNeese, and he told you about black holes.
Did, yeah.
Yeah. So
spaghettification.
Exactly, spaghettification. So these gravitational waves are basically like the kinds of gravitational waves that you see when black holes collide with each other, but they happened really, really long time ago and at a much higher energy scale. Really huge black holes. Really huge energy scales.
Like the ones at the center of our galaxy.
Bigger than that.
All right, so when they combine to make bigger black holes and then those combine.
Yeah, sure. Maybe that's what happened. But there's a huge gravitational effect, and we can actually see the imprints of those gravitational waves on the cosmic microwave background when we image it. It looks like a swirly pattern, like a distortion in the image. And the amplitude, the size of that swirly pattern, tells us how big the gravitational waves were in the early universe. That's really cool.
I've got a question.
Yes.
I'm not sure if you're going to know the answer, but how did the Big Bang happen?
We have no idea.
Okay.
There's all kinds of theories about that. There's some theories that say that there was another universe before ours, and there was a big crunch, and then this one kind of expanded out of it. There's other theories that say that we're just a bubble in a much larger multiverse, and so it's just a bubble that kind of nucleates, that just forms in this big
multiverse. I think that
multiverse.
What happened was that there were, like, two big balls of energy,
uh-huh.
And then when they collided, they tore a rip in space-time, creating the universe.
Sure. That's completely plausible. Probably someone has actually written down a theory like that. And I'm not even, like, exaggerating. There's any number of theories that can explain how the Big Bang came to be.
Why do you want to know this about the universe?
Okay, so what we study when we're looking at the cosmic microwave background is the energy content of the universe and how it evolved from the Big Bang to now. So the universe is made up of stuff like you and me and all the stuff you see in this room, and that's called baryonic matter. And that actually, we found out, only makes up about 5% of the whole universe. The rest of the universe is made up of what we call dark matter. It behaves like matter, it interacts gravitationally. It causes stuff to kind of want to pull into each other. That's about a quarter of the universe.
I'm going to guess that the next one also has dark in it.
Yeah, dark energy.
which is the thing propelling the expansion of the universe continually.
Yeah. So the universe is expanding, and we can study that expansion over time, in part with the cosmic microwave background. And we've learned that the expansion is actually going faster. It's accelerating.
Oh.
And that is because the universe is made up now mostly of dark energy.
And so that's what the universe is made of.
On that note, we left the geodesic dome and headed straight to Sasha's office. And there, I had to ask her one question, and it was kind of a big one.
Why is this still relevant today?
Because the universe is still evolving, and it has changed a lot from what it looked like then. And if we can study how the universe has evolved since then and how it's evolving now, we might know how it ends eventually. Many billions of years from now.
All right, so what do you have to say to you kids who might want to get involved with the cosmic microwave background?
Well, I would say there's a lot of really cool instrumentation out there. There's a lot of cool technology that we get to work with, and you get to travel to really exotic places like the Atacama Desert in Chile or Antarctica or Greenland, really far away places, and you get to study the really big questions, like what is the universe made of? Why are we here?
All right,
that level.
We do not know this yet, but I'm hoping that you'll be able to prove it. And the question is, how did the Big Bang happen?
It's a good question. One day we'll know the answer.
Thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was really great to get to show you around.
Thanks.
You're pretty well prepared for this.
So are you.
Thanks.
There you have it, folks. The Showbot Science is complete. Music on today's episode was produced by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder and by Sounds Like an Earful. Our theme music was composed by Jeff Dan and Teresa Brooks. Okay, Dad, you can shut the recording off.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hi, my name's Zach. I'm 12 years old, and I host We the Children, the podcast where kids talk climate change. Like a lot of kids my age, when I think about the future, I can't help but wonder what kind of world will be waiting for us. Will polar bears still roam the Arctic? Will we still be able to see colorful coral reefs or build snowmen in the winter? I'd like to think so. That's why I'm trying to learn as much as I can about climate change science, stories, and solutions from some of the world's leading experts, and share what I learned with all of you. Together, we can decide what type of future we want for our planet. Subscribe to We the Children on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And visit us at WeTheChildrenPodcast.com. Remember, we, the children, have the power to make a difference.